Blog Talk Radio.
We'll die for our king, we'll die for our king,
and our souls will be stained by their blood.
We'll die for our king, we'll die for our king,
and our souls will be stained by their blood.
Gather your men and we will see who is the leader that dares to fight, to slay and name against our might.
Trust us, Lord, that you will be this traitor in hell for eternity. Trust us, Lord, and time will tell. You burn, can burn again in hell.
Oh, God, my valiant men, you seek the fox in the dark. Then go with God, we will die and be fighting.
We'll die for our king, we'll die for our king,
and our swords will be stained by their blood.
We'll die for our king, we'll die for our king,
and our swords will be stained by their blood.
What is going on? Welcome to this kind of somber
episode of Dollar Bin Horror Radio. Excuse me for 1 second. This was so good, I had to play it twice. There we go. My apologies for that. What's going on? My name is Eric Polk, and I am joined, of course, by Lord and Mistress of DollarBinHorror.blogspot.com, Miss Ronnie Reaper. Hey, Ronnie. Hey, Rhonda, how's it going tonight?
Hey, everyone.
Hey. Kind of a somber tribute tonight. Is in case for some reason you don't know, this morning the world of not only horror, fantasy, action, sci-fi, and the world of heavy metal lost an icon, a man who crossed so many genres of movie. I'm talking, of course, about Christopher Lee. The news dropped early this morning here in the United States that he had passed away this past Sunday. And his family had released the news of his death only this morning in the United States. And he passed away at the age of 93. And we here at Dollar Bin Horror Radio, and I'm sure the entire movie community, not just the world of horror, is stunned and saddened by the loss of this tremendous actor. And, you know, still very, very shocked. And if you guys want to talk and relate your memories of Christopher Lee, the number is toll-free here in the United States, 1-877-552-4073, and for our international listeners, 323-843-6113. I don't know where to begin with Christopher Lee. The man starred in so many horror movies. He was the face of Hammer Horror his entire Dracula series, for almost the entire Dracula series. Rhonda, I know, you know, how big of a Lord of the Rings fan you are, and he definitely, his role as Sauron in the Lord of the Rings movies. I'm sorry?
No, it is Sauron. Wait.
It is Sauron? Sauron? Yeah, I'm looking up. Yeah, it is Sauron, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, see, he definitely,
it's amazing how he even got the role, because he actually auditioned for Gandalf.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his dream role. He said that was, his dream role was to be Gandalf, but they said, you know, I don't know if you're right for Gandalf, but I think you'd make the perfect Saruman. And he took it.
Yeah.
He didn't complain, he just wanted to be a part of it, and...
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe, I know he was 93, but still, it sucks.
You know, and he was making movies up until fairly recently. His two last movies, a movie that was completed, one was called The Angels of Notting Hill, and the other one was in pre-production, it was supposed to be released in 2016, called The 11th. I don't know, What's going to happen with that movie now? But I'm sure we'll find out some more information on that as time progresses. And the work of this man just transcends generations upon generations. I mean for horror movie fans. A lot of people will say always say, you know, Bela Lugosi is Dracula.
No,
of course,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Christopher Lee was always my Dracula. I think we've actually had this argument before on the show. Who's the best Dracula? Hands down, for me.
Yeah, I mean, Christopher Lee brought a more, you know, I don't want to say a toned down performance, but he wasn't, I am Dracula, you know, the Bela Lugosi, you know, can
Bela Lugosi
over
was
it.
More of a, almost like a mystical fantasy kind of creature of a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher
yeah.
Lee, for me, was way too realistic, making it even scarier. Like, he really, like, Bela Lugosi just seemed like almost like a fantasy type creature instead of a man. And Christopher
mm-hmm.
Lee's Dracula seemed way too human. Which made it absolutely terrifying because it felt like he could be real.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not too up. I've only seen a few Dracula movies starring Christopher Lee, but there's to me one of the scariest moments I've ever watched in a horror film was during the Horror of Dracula, and when you see him out with the blood hanging down his lips and his fang, you know, and he's hissing and you see his fangs pop out. I'm like, that is just freaking wickedly scary. You know, for someone who's seen it like 50 some odd years after its release, I'm like, wow. Just, scary as all get out. I mean, and let's not forget too, he's also played a mummy. He played a James Bond villain in Man with the Golden Gun, if you can believe that. And I
believe he's the only actor to both be Sherlock and Mycroft.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I believe you are correct in that. And if we're wrong, feel free to call us 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get in. Just share your memories with Christopher Lee. What movies affected you the most? Which ones had the most impact? I'm here on his IMDb page right now. It's looking up some of his other films: Crypt of the Vampire, Castle of the Living Dead, The Gorgon. Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, which is where our good friend James Harris got his moniker from. And then we come of course to The Face of the Fu Manchu, which was ripped big t- what, I'm sorry, no, it was The Castle Fu Manchu. That was ripped on MST3K. I watched that here a few months ago. So he even crossed the boundaries of my favorite television show.
And the great thing is he said a wonderful quote. He said, every actor has bad movies. The trick is to not be bad in them.
Exactly.
And I don't think I can say Christopher Lee was bad in anything he ever did. He was amazing. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he, even in the bad movies he was in, he did elevate. I mean, the Fu Manchu movie I watched in MST3K, that was rather bad. I mean, he couldn't really do a whole lot with what he had to work with. I mean, admittedly.
But he did the best he could every time. That's why he's been in so many movies.
Now, yeah, I'm looking up right now. There's like 250. IMDb alone credits him as an actor with 215 movies and TV shows combined. Yeah, I'm looking up and. Looking at some of the other stuff here he did from the 70s alone, the house, you know, he was in The House That Dripped Blood. He was in The Satanic Rites of Dracula with another Hammer horror legend, Peter Cushing. I saw a picture today on the internet of Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, John Carradine, and I believe Bela Lugosi, and they said the golden age of horror is over. Now,
yeah, I saw one similar, but it had Cushing, Lee and Price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something. I'm Vincent Price, not Bela Lugosi. My mistake. And it's true. I mean, you're never going to get that kind of a collection of actors like that working on, like, you know, take, you know, variations of the Dracula and the Frankenstein movies and the monster movies. You're not going to get that kind of collection, I think, ever again. For sure, he was. And now for some horror movies, I like that he was in The Wicker Man. That's like in my top 15. You know, the classic battle of paganism versus the undertone of paganism versus Christianity. That's just, you know, that and of course the last scene. You know. If you've seen The Wicker Man, you know what I'm talking about. That very
and we're not talking about that crappy Nicolas Cage Wicker Man.
No, oh dear God, no. We're talking about the original. We're talking about the best. All right, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get in tonight and talk about the passing of Christopher Lee. What were some of your favorite movies he's done? What's your first memories of the man? My first concrete memory of him, I was when I saw the sequel to Gremlins to the New Batch, when he plays the mad scientist. Where's rabies? I want my rabies. You know, he just does that. So, you know, the you know, exaggeration of the mad scientist is so damn well in that one. And even his death scene when he's holding, he's electrocuted and he's holding his hand, you know, it's just, he's not screaming. He just has this weird look on his face like, what the hell just happened? You know, and it was, I mean, it was funny because he was like, he was threatening poor Gizmo with a dissection and, you know.
I think my first memory was actually a Sherlock film.
Oh, really?
I believe it was A Hound of Baskerville.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I think Peter Cushing was actually Sherlock in this one.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
I just remember, I know it was an old movie, but my first impression was, he's cute. That was my first impression. He had the deep voice and a pretty face. I was just like, oh my God, I think I have a crush on Christopher Lee. And then I actually saw that around, like, probably 3 months before the first Lord of the Rings film came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I definitely saw that later in life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so what'd you think of him in the Lord of the Rings / The Hobbit movies?
I adore Saruman. I mean, he is a villain you just love. Him with his mm-hmm. little henchman, Warm Tongue, played by, of course, Brad Dourif. I mean, I absolutely loved him in that film. And when I heard about, as I said earlier, that he really wanted Gandalf, I just, after seeing Lord of the Rings and seeing how despicably evil he was, I couldn't imagine him as Gandalf. He was the perfect Saruman the White. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the beginning, you thought he was on your side, and then, boom, nope, he's like, we can't defeat this evil, we must join it. Oh, my God. Like, you have no idea, I'm such a Lord of the Rings fan, and he just, him and Ian together, the perfect mm-hmm. wizard duo. Like, I couldn't imagine anyone else in those roles, anyone.
Talking about the passing of Christopher Lee today here on Dollarman Horror Radio. As you probably know by now, the news broke this morning that he passed away this past Sunday at the age of 93, and the news was dropped today to give time for his family to grieve. He leaves behind a wife of 50 years and one daughter. She was a famous British model, and I wish I could remember her name off the top of my head right now because I don't have the information with me. But I mean, I don't want to say it was a Hollywood marriage, but for a marriage between a model and an actor, 50 years, that's just freaking amazing.
That never happens anymore. I don't even know a lot of normal people who stay married for 50 years.
And I'll take some of his other movies. I remember him being in the Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp, for sure.
Yes.
I remember that. I didn't see the remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but apparently he played his dad,
yeah.
Dr. Wonka.
Oh, my God.
Wasn't he a dentist in that movie?
Yes, he was a dentist, which is, like, the whole reason that he, like, rebelled and started eating candy. And it is... That movie was just so weird. It was so weird. And he actually had a really good relationship with Tim Burton. You see him pop up in a few of his movies, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And... Let's see. He voiced on Corpse Bride. He was a character in that, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Let's see. Alice in Wonderland. He was Jabberwocky in that in the remake, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to really mention this because it's a little too early in the show, but I have to mention this because it directly affects me as a Star Wars fan, and I'm talking about Count Dooku. in episodes 2 and 3. And, yeah, the prequels, they are maligned. You know, I want to see it a little bit unfairly because when the people who malign them, you know, yeah, those prequels have bad points, but there are some good points in that. And Christopher Lee's performance as Count Dooku is one of those few good points.
See, I wasn't old enough to see the original Star Wars in theaters, but I did see episodes 2. You know, I saw that in theaters. And, I mean, oh my God, I've almost gotten killed when I first admitted I liked Jar Jar Binks. But, I've changed since I first saw them. I was, like, really young, so give me a break, okay? Mm-hmm. He was funny. I was a kid. Calm down.
I forgive you.
I think Christopher Lee has put his hat into every single genre I can think of. He's done fantasy, he's done sci-fi, he's done horror, he's done comedy. I mean, the man has done everything. He fought in the war. I mean,
World War II, yeah.
Yes, he hunt Nazis. I mean, come on now. He did heavy metal. He just heard the song from his second heavy metal album. I mean, he's done literally everything.
Yes, and I'm looking at. I'm going to start scrolling through some pictures here in just a moment. And like I said, if you guys want to get in on the conversation, the number to call is 1-877-552-4073. The number to call if you guys want to get in. On the chat tonight, we're talking about the legacy of one Christopher Lee, born in 1922, and he was knighted by the queen herself. So he is Sir Christopher Lee. Yes, but he never really used the Sir in his title for any of his movies. I don't.
Not in the movies, but like you know, in public appearances, he would use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. Wasn't too sure about that. But going back to talking about his appearance as Count Dooku, because I definitely have some feelings about that. I remember the scene when he fights Yoda. I remember when I saw him in the theaters, I laughed because I had never seen Yoda fight before. Nobody had.
I've never seen Yoda move that fast.
Yeah, it was like all of a sudden he was like dancing all over the place. I'm like... You know, I kind of laugh about it, but his voice in that movie, how his lightsaber was freaking awesome with the curved stick. You know, but he was rather chilling in that one.
Well, his voice in everything is chilling. He just had the perfect voice for everything. I thought his voice was better for voiceovers than Morgan Freeman. Oh, God, I'm going to get killed for that, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, he had a pretty good voice. He was actually, when they did an animated movie of the Clone Wars back in 2008, he went back, he voiced himself as Count Dooku again, and... That was like another reason why the movie. And I want to say it hold the movies of the prequels don't hold up. But anyway, I'm going to read a couple of articles here from off of IMDb. Here, if you guys will indulge me, this is from movies.com. The legendary actor Christopher Lee has passed away at the age of 93. The beloved actor, who spent his early years frightening audiences in vintage Hammer horror films like Dracula, before going to star as a central villain in major franchises like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, died after being hospitalized due to respiratory problems. You know, this is a good point right here. Your relationship with Lee probably depends on what era you grew up in. He began his career in the mid-40s with such ongoing roles in classic gothic horror films like The Curse of Frankenstein, Horror of Dracula, The Mummy, Crypt of the Vampire, and more. And these roles, along with his iconic Dracula, he played well into the 70s, or truly marked him as one of cinema's greats. So, and on Twitter alone here, if you just give me 1 second, I'm going to pull this up. It's kind of, I apologize. We kind of a bit on the slow side. Kind of on the slow side tonight. We're still trying to take this all
in. Yeah, this
in.
Whole thing, we had a completely different show planned out, but
we did.
I mean,
we were going.
I didn't even know this happened until, God, till 5 o'clock. Like, I was at work all day. I am not allowed to use my phone. I mean, I had no idea until 5. Like,
I'm still.
I don't. I mean, I know he was 93, but kind of like he didn't seem 93 to me.
Yeah. It kind of seems like you expect you always expect him to be around. You know, it was like you kind of taken for granted. You know, not in a bad way, but. And this year's been kind. You know, this year we've lost a lot of people. We've lost a lot of people in the worlds of horror and sci-fi. I mean, the biggest one of all is Leonard Nimoy, of course. You know, if we had done the show when he passed away, I would have called for an emergency episode right there and then because that was probably heartbreaking. And this is just as bad. Betsy Palmer. Jason's mother in the original Friday the 13th, she's no longer with us either. You know, all the heroes and legends we've grown up with over the years, they're going away. You know, because you can't stop, unfortunately, you cannot stop time.
Yep.
All right, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys, want to get in on the conversation tonight. We're talking about the legacy of Christopher Lee. Facebook too, has been saddened by this today. I mean, people on the Halloween Horror Movie Marathon Madness Facebook page, they've expressed their condolences all day long. For him and his family, you know. But let's talk a little bit more about his movies while I wait for this to pop. Rhonda, what are some of your favorite other than the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies? Let's kind of do something different.
Yeah,
here. What are some
know
of
I
your
can
favorite
go on for that.
Yeah.
Forever.
Some of his other favorite movies that he's done that you liked?
Well, he's done so many, but I have to go back to the Draculas because he was my Dracula. That was the first Dracula film I've ever seen. I never saw anything other than that. I mean, I was born in the 90s, and there was plenty of other things, like Interview with the Vampire and everything, but he was the first one I saw. I saw, oh, God, it was The Satanic Rites of Dracula. That's the first one I saw.
Yeah,
that's
that movie.
Was
Peter Cushing.
Yeah, and
it's
that
also
was.
Known as,
God,
I had to
be
called,
I was young.
I think on some of like those $5 DVDs you get in like Walmart bins and Target bins.
They're not even $5 DVDs. I got that one out of a dollar bin.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even if you've never watched his movies, you probably know the name when you've gone grocery shopping because. Whenever you would like check out, you would always see like one of his Dracula movies that was transferred on a very crappy transfer. I mean, I have a $5 copy of fifteen movies and the Bride of Dracula, aka the Satanic Rites of Dracula, was on one of them, and the transfer quality is so damn poor. Okay, here we go with the head hauntress, Elizabeth Catherine Gray, on Facebook said, "Good night, sweet Prince of Darkness, and flight of angels, sing thee to thy rest." And she posted a picture of Christopher Lee, Vincent Price, and Peter Cushing together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one. Okay, if you go to geektyrant.com, there's also top 10 Christopher Lee film tribute videos. I'm sorry, top 10 Christopher Lee films tribute videos, if you want to take a look at that. For sure. take a look at that. Take a look at that for sure. All right, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get on the conversation tonight. One of my no, I'm not going to use the Star Wars movies he was in, but one of the movies I loved him in was The Wicker Man from the early 70s when he. You know, and his performance is just, I don't want to say over the top, but it's, you know, he's always smiling. He has that crazy toothy smile in this one. You know, and that's, trying to talk to the Scottish police officer who's looking for this missing girl. You know, he's crazy, and then he's leading these people in his call, you know, to dances around the wicker man and everything, and I'm just like, oh wow, this is, you know, this is just crazy. Like I said, especially towards the end, for sure. All right. So, anyhow, it's 1-877-552-4073. If you guys want to get on the conversation tonight, we're talking about Christopher Lee. So,
you know, and speaking of another dollar bin movies, oh my God, this is actually one of the first dollar bin movies I bought when I like first started buying the dollar movies, Horror Express.
Oh yes.
Yes,
yes,
it's definitely one of those movies that he was amazing in. The movie itself
mm-hmm.
was okay.
mm-hmm.
Oh, and how could I... And Horror Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
How could I forget
yes.
that one? Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, if you have, like, Roku, you can easily grab, like, four or five of his movies. Because they play those all the time on like the different Roku apps and stuff. So definitely.
Yeah, and actually, City of the Dead is one of my favorite dollar bin movies I have ever bought. It's also known
mm-hmm.
as Horror Hotel. That's actually the DVD I bought. It's under the name Horror Hotel, but it's known as City of the Dead. It's
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite dollar bin movies. It's one of my favorite witch movies. Peter Cushing was a teacher who definitely had ulterior motives. It was just an amazing... For me, it wasn't bloody, it wasn't gory, and yet it still had that, oh my God, such a wonderful dark atmosphere. Christopher Lee just knows how to play evil.
mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean...
Then, of course,
okay.
I mean, The Devil Rides Out was... a really good creepy one as well. I mean, oh my God, he just did so many good. He was just creepy when he wanted to be creepy. He had that voice. Oh my God, just so many films. So many films are going through my mind right now. To the Devil a Daughter.
What's that?
To the Devil a Daughter.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember if I've seen that one or not. I can't remember if that was Hammer or not.
I think it was a Hammer film.
I don't know. Did it have Nastasha Kinski in it?
Who?
From the We Make a Cat People. Nastasha Kinski.
Yes. It was the girl from Cat People.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that was a...
Oh, God. I'm trying to remember if that was a Hammer or not.
Yeah, I don't...
Yes, it was a Hammer.
Sure.
Sorry, I had to Google it real quick on my other phone. It's a Hammer film from 1976.
Okay, cool. Okay, very, very, very cool. All right, and we apologize if we're kind of slow right now. We're still trying to gather information on Christopher Lee, and we're not you know, I'm not, frankly, I wasn't very prepared to do this kind of show. I wasn't expecting to do this kind of show tonight, but if it,
yeah, this,
but,
this was completely
yeah.
last minute, and I'm just like, God, I'm sad. I really am.
Yeah, it's been, you know,
I know it was
been...
93, but it still sucks.
Oh, here we go. We got some... Just 1 second here. You know, on his, you know, and I try, I'm trying to get on his, trying to get on his webpage right now, and it's, and I believe it's crashed. So I was trying to gather up some more, information on him. So that, shows you there is a tremendous outpouring. There's just a tremendous outpouring for him tonight, for him today. So. All right, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call tonight if you guys want to discuss the legacy. What are some of your favorite Chris? What are some of your favorite Christopher Lee movies? Because we would love we would love to hear from you tonight. Going back to going to go back to Star Wars again because that's kind of like the cornerstone of all my geekdom and stuff. Yeah, I kind of wish there was a scene when he's interacting with Samuel L. Jackson, aka Mace Windu, and I wish they just would have fought during the big battle of Geonosis scene. I just, you know, I think it would just be so much for Samuel L. Jackson not to drop an MF bomb on him or something. I was, frankly, when he was cast as Mace Windu, I'm like, oh my God, how the hell is he going to restrain himself in that? How the hell is he going to restrain himself in that? You know, in that case, you know. Okay, he said. Okay, and one here's a quote here from him. He go, you know, he was his last movie was going to start with Uma Thurman. In one of his last interviews, he declared, "When I die, I want to die with my boots on." And he certainly held true to his word. I mean, the only thing he literally died with his boots on. I mean. He might have.
He never stopped working.
Yeah, that's the thing. And we got some, let's see, hold on a second here. We got some more. Roger Moore, actually, he was one, if for any of you who don't know who he is, he was one of the James Bonds from the 70s and early 80s. He goes, "We're very sad to hear Christopher Lee, you played one of Bond's greatest villains, has passed away. Our thoughts are with his family."
Oh my God,
so.
I almost forgot he was a Bond villain.
Yeah, he was Francisco Scaramanga in The Man with the Golden Gun. You know, he's considered one of the best Bond villains.
He's literally done everything.
Mm-hmm. and that he is. Oh, here we go. I found the quote with. I think I might sound like Trent Burton here. I'm sorry. Again, I apologize here. We're still trying to sort all this out today. You know, Christopher Lee passing away at the age of 93. Okay, here we go. Tim Burton. He was quoted as saying, "Christopher has been an enormous inspiration to me my entire life. I had the honor and pleasure to work with him on 5 films, Sleepy Hollow, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Corpse Bride, Alice in Wonderland, and Dark Shadows." And he was
oh,
the last
I forgot he was in Dark Shadows. Oh, wow.
Oh, how was that? See, I didn't watch the movie. I really didn't have any interest in it, to be quite honest with you. But
it wasn't that bad, actually. It was funny. It was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to say it was a masterpiece, but it was definitely enjoyable. It was fun to watch.
Wait, okay. And he was, anyway, continuing with Tim Burton's quote, he was the last of his kind, a true legend who I am fortunate to have called a friend. He will continue to inspire me and I'm sure countless others for generations to come. Elijah Wood from the Lord of the Rings movies has paid a heartfelt tribute to his co-star, describing him as quote, "a towering human being," unquote. And I want to say literally and figuratively, for sure, that dude was freaking tall. No, what? And his that was one of my that was one of my first impressions of him. And that goes along with, you know, he's tall and he had this deep ass voice, which I played. I played the song by a band he did called Charlemagne. You know, the Devil's Advocate. Whew, that dude. That dude freaking.
And that
freaking
song was as wonderful as the voice sounds. That song was released in 2013. So.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah.
What other people at that age would you... I think, actually, he holds the world record for the oldest person to put out a heavy metal album.
I'm not surprised. The man was never afraid to take... Was never afraid to take a chance. I'm going to read this article with you. I'm going to read this article about... by Christopher Lee's concept album when Saruman went metal. And this is from Mike Barthel from theawl.com, AWL. He goes, generally the problem with vanity projects is that the vanity object slash subject seems less interested in having a good album than in getting credit simply for having made one at all. But for Christopher Lee, maybe the bare fact of him having recorded a metal album at the age of 88, Charlemagne by the Sword and the Cross, a symphonic metal rock opera about the titular figure, was released in 2010, is worthy of praise in and of itself. Still Lee, who made a venerable mountain of B-movie classics and was a rightful beloved cult actor even before he played Saruman in the Lord of the Rings movie, shouldn't be allowed to coast on his reputation, and so he'll be subject to the same rigorous critiquing process. So this he was doing a review of it. Okay, and there's one quote. Here we go, one second. There is one quote on here. Somebody reviewed it on Amazon saying, "It is so nice to hear Count Dooku on a record, isn't it?" Yes, that was... Oh.
The thing that made me... I almost lost it when you said, "When Saruman goes metal." I didn't even think of it like that.
Yeah, the man was multi-talented. 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get on the conversation tonight. All right, I'm going to play, I think we covered everything we want to talk to you about with Christopher Lee. So I want to play his cover of Frank Sinatra's My Way, and then, Rhonda, if you don't mind, can you do a review of episode 2 of Aquarius for us?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I appreciate that. So I'm going to play a little track here. It's his cover, Frank Sinatra's My Way, and then we will discuss episode 2 of Aquarius, and if I get a chance to review of the debut episode of season 3 of Hannibal here on Dollar Band Horror Radio.
And every highway and
like one of the oddest covers I've ever heard, not just the Frank Sinatra song, but maybe ever. But you see how he held that note at the very end when he was singing at the very end? Damn.
He made Sinatra metal. That was pretty badass.
Yeah, and you, yeah, and nobody can make Sinatra metal, you know, but he pulled it off. That was Christopher Lee covering Sinatra's My Way, and of course, as you already probably know by now, he passed away at the age of 93. The news dropped this morning, so rest in peace, and I hope that you and Peter Cushing, Vincent Price, and John Kerry are having a hell of a fucking cigar and brandy chat, you know, upstairs.
Don't
right
forget
now.
Peter Lorre.
Yes, don't forget Peter Lorre. You guys just got going up there, you know, having a nice couple of snores just sitting there bullshitting about the old days, you know, and probably seeing what's wrong with movies today. I'm almost sure of it. All right, so we're going to shift gears here a little bit and talk real quick about what's going to happen the next couple of weeks. Next week we're going to have what I had originally planned for this week, which was a look at threequels, the third movie in a horror franchise that's usually almost always the make or break franchise. We're going to be talking about that. And then 2 weeks from tonight, we actually have an authentic interview. We're going to be interviewing Robert Pirro. He is a children's horror author. So I'm definitely looking forward to that because we're writers ourselves, and I always like talking with a fellow writer about the craft. So you definitely want to tune in for that. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at dbhradio.com. And we have our very first authentic celebrity follow. Do you know a lady by the name of Felicia Rose? Of course
you
do.
If you don't, why don't you?
You need to watch the first Sleepaway Camp movie. She is following us on Twitter, and I feel that we've this Twitter venture is
worth it. Eric may have freaked out a little bit, just a little bit.
No, it wasn't a Carol Monroe freak out. It was more a pleasant surprise than anything. I was like, you know, I got the message saying Felicia Rose is now following you on Twitter. I'm like, wow. Actually, she responded to a question I had saying, what are some of your favorite horror movies outside of the ones you worked on? And she said, oh, The Exorcist and Last House on the Left. And I responded to her, excellent choices. I'm sure you're having a rough go of things because she had taken some flack for having to cancel out on a horror convention because of her schedule. But she had she also had to schedule another convention that was close to her, and people were giving her some crap about that. So I said, sorry, you're having a rough go. And she said, oh, that's no problem. That's when she started following us. So so this whole Twitter thing is definitely working out. And you can follow us, and maybe in the future, I'm going to maybe next week I'll introduce a new segment called Celebrity Fishing, where I go look for responses from celebrities we are following on Twitter. So I'm going to this weekend I'm going to watch We Are Still Here, which apparently is a new, seems to be catching fire with a lot of horror movie fans, and it stars Barbara Crampton, who we're following on Twitter on DBHR. Maybe she'll be my next target for Celebrity Fishing. So.
Oh, my God. Eric got a Twitter now. Everybody run.
Yeah, well, it's not my Twitter. It's our Twitter, but.
Yes,
you know,
but Eric is just like, that's all I've heard about for like the last week.
Well, it's fun. Plus, we get new plus it benefits us because we get new followers, which hopefully potentially translates into new listeners.
Eric is, I mean, I know, but Eric is so happy about this Twitter thing. He's like, ooh. He's just so excited about Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I have a Twitter. I just don't remember the fucking password. Or the password to the email.
That's actually how you and I met was on Twitter, when I had like an old Twitter account.
Yes, that's how we met. But
me.
Honestly, I don't know the password, and I can't remember the password for the email I used to make the Twitter.
Oh! Oh, my God. Okay, so we're going to change gears again, and we're going, Rhonda, talk about last week's episode of Aquarius. I know you've seen all the movies. You've seen
yes,
all the
I've
episodes,
watched every one,
but...
so I actually had to Google and see, wait, which one came on last week? Hold on a minute. I actually watched all of them in 1 day, or 2 days, so it's like, But this one, episode 3, Never Say Never to Always, this one stuck out because the title of that episode has a big fucking, it definitely has a big reason, I mean, not a reason, I don't know what the word, it has a lot to do with the ending of the show, the ending of that episode, which is probably my favorite ending to any of the episodes. Okay, well, in the beginning of the episode, at the end of the first two, you know, you saw Charles Manson and Emma's daddy about to, you know, but,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, they totally did it. And you just wake up, and he's, like, trying to sneak out, and Emma sees him leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little, that was a tense moment for Emma. But then, of course, David Duchovny's character goes back to his ex-wife's house to ask her some more questions, see if he knows anything about the whereabouts of their son. And, well, he runs into his police captain. Like, what are you doing at my ex-wife's house? What do you think you're doing at your ex-wife's house?
Eating milk and cookies?
He was eating cookie, all right. So, yeah, that takes a kind of weird twist on that. And I don't think technically they're actually not divorced, technically, I think. But, yeah, so his ex-wife's banging his boss. His son's still missing from, you know, trying to desert the draft. Manson is sleeping with Emma's dad, and he finally got the money. He, like, kind of extorted that money out of Emma's dad to do his mixtape. So they all go down to the just, like, kind of out in the backwoods and record this mixtape. And then afterwards, I guess Charles wanted to say thank you to the guy who recorded the mixtape. And he offers two of his girls for the night. This is the first time you really see Charles kind of get angry at Emma and tell Emma, don't disobey me. You got to do what I say. And I said, you're spending the night with this guy.
Wow.
Yeah. And the really fucked up part is, this is the end of the episode, so if you haven't watched it, well, what the hell. Anyway, the end of the episode, it actually gives, like, a whole new idea to one of Charles Manson's actual family songs, Never Say Never to Always, which is a song that Charles Manson had the girls actually sing on an actual album he made. And so at the end of the episode, they actually, Charles calls Emma's parents and plays the song, which in the show, Emma's voice is the main voice in the song. And that's how the show ends, is that her mom...
Yeah, and that was...
That fucked
that
me
was
up.
Probably my favorite part of the entire episode was that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm up to... I finished episode 6 here last week, but, you know, it's kind... You know, right now it's still kind of a take-your-leave-it proposition for me. I mean, it's... You know, I will finish it out since I'm like, I'm halfway there. You know, I might as well finish the whole thing. But I'm, you know, I still like the show. It's okay, but it's not really cranking my dials, you know.
Well, see, the show has like everything I like. I like true crime. It takes a new twist on it. I loved it. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's got to be a season 2. And I'm in friggin' hell that this was supposed to be a 13-episode event. I don't care what they said.
Yeah, I'll have to find somebody to replace David Duchovny because, you know, when X-Files dropped in January, it's going to blow up.
On the news today, they showed pictures from Gillian Anderson's Twitter showing, like, their little seats with Mulder and Scully on them. I was so excited.
Yeah, so I don't think David Duchovny is coming back to Aquarius unless somehow X-Files massively bombs, and I don't see that happening. For sure. Okay, real quick, since we're running out of time here, season 3 of Hannibal, the season premiere, I know some people found it boring. I loved it. It was shot so beautifully. I won't go into it.
No, it's all right. I don't mind you spoiling it because I know it's going to get better during the season. I'm going to watch both of them this weekend because I won't get to see tonight either.
The first episode... Yeah, I won't lie to you, the first episode's slow, but I think it's for a reason.
You have to introduce the new character. That's what I would assume.
Yeah, well, there's really no new characters. It's essentially you just see Hannibal and you see Gillian and you see Gillian Anderson.
When I say new character, I meant the new character. I guess I want to call new character dynamic. I mean, she wasn't his wife before.
Yeah. Well, there's that's what's working between them is this dynamic. So
yeah.
I won't go too much into it, but it's so beautiful.
I can't wait for it to get
know,
gory though, because the one episode out of Hannibal, out of all seasons, stuck in my mind.
This episode's pretty intense, especially having concerning snails. I won't go too much into it, but yeah, it's kind of it's okay. It's not gore. It's a little gory, but more creepy than anything. It's slow and creepy. That's kind of how I see. That's where the opposite. I kind of like my movies like that a little more these days. The older I get, I kind of like a slow start. Not to say you need pick it up a little bit. But I mean, I liked it. You know, some people didn't, and I understand why. You know, but for a show as elegant as Hannibal is, you know, with its scenes, then you know, it's you kind of want it to start slow. All right, well, that will wrap it up for this edition of Dollar Bin Horror Radio. Again, rest in peace, Christopher Lee. His legacy is going to speak for itself, and I think the best way to honor him is just sometime this weekend watch one of his many, many movies.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be back on next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time to discuss the threequel, third movie in a horror movie franchise. Until then, we will see you next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Until then, this is Eric Polk along with Ronnie Reaper saying to all of Creepily Nation, good night, everybody.
We'll die for our king, we'll die for our king,
and our souls will be stained by their blood.
We'll die for our king, we'll die for our king,
and our souls will be stained by their blood. Roll and bring the king to me, gather your men and we will see, who is the leader that dares to fight today?